Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
Hi, my name is Dr. Rosh, and I'm an aesthetics and longevity doctor based in the UK. I have lots of experience in nutrition, and I actually myself used to be a vegetarian 3 years, but converted to carnivore. I now feel the best that I ever have in my entire life.
And the first time he told me that he was a carnivore, I said, "You must be an idiot." You would see so many heartwarming stories of people who've been, you know, vegetarian or not carnivore for 20 years, have tons of diseases. And they'll completely resolve themselves as soon as they went carnivore.
My mum, actually, some pretty nasty diseases as well. So she's had rheumatoid arthritis, myasthenia gravis, Wegener's granulomatosis. She was really sick the last 20, 25 years, and we were trying all sorts of things to try and get her better. My mom is doing amazingly right now. She's the best health I've seen in the last 20 years. My daughter is essentially a carnivore. She's only 1 year old, 15 months, and she has steak almost every day because she absolutely loves it. And she's phenomenal. She's the picture of health. Being a carnivore who goes vegan.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. Today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed, honored to welcome Dr. Rosh to the channel. Welcome, Dr. Rosh. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm really interested in hearing your story. I've been following you a bit on social media. And maybe if we could start out, could you tell us a little bit about maybe your professional background, your personal background, and what sort of led you to carnivore?
Yeah, of course. It's a bit of a long story, but I'm from the UK by origin, and I went to med school here. I'm a doctor by background. I've done all sorts of things, but my main career was going to medicine. And what really intrigued me about medicine is that I wanted to do all the typical things I wanted to heal people and everything. But when I actually got into medicine, I found that it was very much treating patients who already had disease with either drugs or surgery, rather than really focusing on trying to stop disease from happening in the first place. And prevention is the best cure, right? So as I went through my medical degree and as I went through working as a junior doctor and a middle grade doctor, this idea just carried on, where I was just treating patients who were already very severely sick. I felt like a lot of the drugs that I was giving them was only making them worse. So I started to go down different avenues, trying to discover different things I can do to try and improve my patients' lives. Personally speaking, I actually also have seen my mum go through some pretty nasty diseases as well. So she's had rheumatoid arthritis, she's had myasthenia gravis, and Wegener's granulomatosis. Now, these three are essentially autoimmune conditions, and they can be pretty nasty. They essentially affect her nerves, her joints, and the cartilage in her nose as well. So she was really sick for the last 20, 25 years, and we were trying all sorts of things to try and get her better. Western medicine was really helping. She tried all sorts of medications like methotrexate, chemotherapy, DMARDs, which are disease-modified antibiotic drugs, and it really was making a difference. And she was bedbound, and as her son, that was quite difficult to see. So even though I had the medical degree and nothing Western medicine was helping, we tried all sorts of things. And the main thing that made sense in my head was it has to be the diet, the nutrition that she's having, it must be the answer. And at the time, I thought maybe vegetarianism was the key. And I did a little bit of research, and I must admit, I was swayed by the massive documentaries that were coming out at the time. So things like, you know, Seaspiracy and Cowspiracy, I think there's one as well, and also The Game Changers. So I thought, okay, this kind of makes sense that if I eat vegetables, like a bit poultry mind alive, and I reduce the processed food and the carbs, then maybe they'll make a nice change. So I went vegetarian. Well, I actually started off being vegan for about 3 months. That was a bit too much for me. I immediately didn't feel very well. And also taste-wise, I just couldn't have the plastic cheese. So I decided to go vegetarian instead. And I was vegetarian for 3 years. And my mum was vegetarian for, she started this whole time, for maybe about 8, 9, maybe 10 years. But her health didn't improve, like at all. And actually, because a disease comes in phases, sometimes it get worse, sometimes it'd be a bit better, but there was an overall trend downwards. So I was constantly on the lookout for different things that I could do to try and help her. And then I came across carnivore. I actually came across carnivore. The person who actually recommended to me, which I would very much advise you to interview, was Dr. Abs, who's a colleague of mine who I work with in the aesthetic system. And the first time he told me that he was a carnivore.
Today's video is sponsored proudly by ButcherBox. They recently launched a new initiative where you can support your local USA American farmers. Support American farmers with this new U.S. pasture-raised beef from ButcherBox. This is USDA choice meat. Look at this ribeye. It's absolutely fantastic. The cows are never in feedlots. They're pasture-raised. There's no antibiotics, no hormones. You're supporting a local American farmer. I get so many people asking me, how can I do that? Now you can do it with ButcherBox. There's more details, including a really special offer, if you use the link in the description below. Thank you so much for watching. Now back to today's video.
I said, you must be an idiot. Like, how can eating meat only be possibly be good for you? Why would all of the medical studies that we've been taught, everything I've been taught medical school, be completely wrong? And he actually took the time for about 2 hours to talk to me about it, to try and get me to unlearn everything that I thought I knew about nutrition. And then that set me off on my journey to try and corroborate everything that he said. And everything he said did actually make sense. So I started trying out carnivore. The main three things that really helped me understand why carnivore was the right thing for me was kind of divided into three different categories. The first category was epidemiological studies, so population studies, where I read about people like the Inuits and the Maasai tribe, and also the South American tribes like the Mayans. A lot of these populations would only eat meat; they would eat nothing else, and they would be healthier than anyone around, anyone else in those territories. So they wouldn't have things like, they wouldn't have diabetes or hypertension, high blood pressure. They wouldn't have heart disease. They would be taller and muscular. They would have perfect dental arch formation, perfect teeth. They would just have perfect health. So that was one of the first things that really became that there's something behind carnivore. The second thing that really convinced me was actually the anecdotal evidence. So I followed lots of different YouTubers and spoke to lots of different people, carnivore, you know, popular people like Anthony Chafee and Dr. Ken Berry, who's been on the show I've seen before as well. And everything they said made complete sense. But moreover, when you read the thousands of comments on YouTube, for example, you will see so many heartwarming stories of people who've been, you know, vegetarian or not carnivore for 20 years, have tons of diseases, and then completely resolve themselves as soon as they were carnivore. So the anecdotal evidence was definitely something that made me think about the carnivore. And then lastly, I did very much go into the biochemistry of it all as well, really trying to understand our bodies in terms of metabolism, in terms of how we break down sugars versus breaking down fats, and why animal fats are so incredibly important in terms of our overall health and reducing our chances of getting disease. So that, I know I've been talking for quite some time, that is a very, very quick summary as to why I chose to go to carnivore. A quick side note before I begin, my mom is doing amazingly right now. She's the best health I've seen in the last 20 years. I am as well, and I'm sure that's something we can discuss a little bit later on as well.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. I'm so happy you found healing and your mom did as well. I love what you said about seeing those comments, because that's what convinced me too. People say, well, look, just anecdotes, but there's so many of them. I remember I was watching a Dr. Ken Berry video, and I was thinking, this guy's crazy. He's selling something. It's a scam. But I started reading those comments, And there were thousands on this one particular video. There were 2,000 comments, and several of them were, Dr. Barry, this saved my life. Like, this literally saved my life. Or my A1C was this, it reversed my diabetes. Over and over and over again. That's I'm like, so Dr. Barry's faking it, and he like hired all these people to fake the comments too. You start getting some of the comments like Dr. Chafee's channel, Dr. Barry, Dr. Ovadia. There's, it's crazy how many comments are there of healing. And I don't know about you, but I just feel like, I feel like I'm biased because I'm in the carnivore space, but I don't feel like we're seeing that with any other lifestyle intervention, diet, or anything.
The thing is, I would argue that you do. And that's the thing. But everyone has a degree of selection bias. I do, you do. And everyone, which you get a vegan page, for example, I'm sure you can see some things that veganism changed my life and I feel so much better, which is why I believe that we can't just take comments and anecdotal evidence, because everyone knows of someone who's done a random diet. I've heard anecdotes of people doing the sugar diet and committing a random. But when you combine that with how you feel as an individual, first of all, when you turn carnivore, vegetarian, and all the other diet sites, right? But when you also combine that with, you know, population studies, or when you combine that with biochemistry, you know, biochemistry, you can't argue with it. It's just fact. It doesn't matter if I say it or someone else says it. You know, breaking down fat is a much more efficient way of producing energy than breaking down sugar. And sugar is known to create a lot of damage to the body through glycation. So although the comments and the anecdotal evidence definitely piqued my interest, I think what really solidified my opinion of carnivore was the biochemistry and the population studies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just being the experiment, doing it for myself and feeling it after having tried all those other things, and like, I've never felt better my entire life. What was it like for you when you started carnivore? Was there a point after you were doing it for a while where you're like, maybe there is something to this?
Yeah, no, definitely. So when I first started, I needed to make sure that I did a relatively slow transition, because I hadn't eaten any meat for about 3 years. So of course, if I just suddenly introduced meat into my diet, my gut microbiome would be very confused. It would be wondering all of the carbs and the sugar was, and then it would start dissolving my own inner lining. So I took that very seriously. I took that seriously for my mom, who's, you know, obviously worked vegetarian for 10 years. So I transitioned there for about 3 months, and mom started seeing the benefits after about 4, 5, 6 months. There was different categories of changes. There were some categories where I saw the change right away, and some benefits I saw later on. I made a video of YouTube that your listeners should definitely check out. It was the 14 benefits of carnivore. That was just the 14 that I could think of that particular time. But honestly, there's more that I discover even now. One of the first things that I discovered when I went carnivore was probably the reason that it drawed most people, which is weight loss. I was a pretty healthy young man, but I was definitely carrying that little bit extra fat. And the main thing is that I actually experienced not generalized weight loss, I experienced fat loss. I think a lot of people get confused about that. There's a lot of different diets out there that offer weight loss, but not necessarily fat loss. And by that, I mean, when you lose weight, you often, still doing these crazy diets, you often will lose bone density and muscle mass as well. And that's not healthy. That's only going to make you might lose weight, but you're actually making yourself in a starved state, and therefore you're going to feel a little bit more unwell. So that's never really the right thing to do. But as I said, I think I lost about 8 to 9 kilos of fat. So really maybe 6 months, something like that, 5 to 6 months, which I've never done before. But at the same time, I was also putting on muscle mass. I was going to the gym less than I usually do, because I became a father around that point. My daughter was only 3 or 4 months. So I was going to the gym less. I was busy in my business. And I just didn't have the time to go to the gym. But when I did go to the gym, my energy was through the roof, and I was lifting heavier weights than I ever had before. So those were two very physical changes that I saw right away. I also noticed that I definitely had more energy. I had zero gas. You know, I never passed gas. I never belched or anything like that on the carnivore diet. That went over the way of night. I did personally have reflux, but I know my mum did. Her reflux went over night. As soon as she started having only meat meals, the reflux went straight away. I felt sharper, less brain fog. I used to get pretty bad migraines, maybe like 2-3 times a week. And they would be meditating. So I would be able to go to work,
your nausea, my migraines almost completely resolved, and they reduced hugely in both severity and frequency. So I do think that, you know, being on the SAD diet, the standard American diet, it just causes so many people issues, but it manifests in different ways. So for some people, it's putting on weight. For people like my mom, it was diabetes, autoimmune conditions. For other people, it's cancer. And clearly for me, it was migraines. I think when you resolve these things, then that's when you really see the difference. And again, that's the other thing that solidified my belief in carnivore. Because when I went carnivore, I just felt the best I had my entire life. I was like, well, if I feel this good, then there must be something behind this, and there must be some real aspect of longevity behind it. And then further grew my interest in the carnivore, and now it's basically what I've reached.
I love it. I've interviewed so many people for our documentary and on my YouTube channel that have been doing carnivore, and they often do it for one reason. Maybe it's weight loss or fat loss or diabetes or whatever, but almost all of them have that same thing that you just mentioned, where it's like, I didn't realize I could feel this good. You kind of normalize how you feel after years and years and decades and decades and having regular migraines or brain fog or being forgetful or just general fatigue kind of becomes the new normal. And that's one of the things that's hard not to get excited about carnivore and want other people to feel that when you look around in the world. Has your perspective changed when you look around in the world?
Yes. Every time I go to the supermarket and I see other people, you know, piling in the sugar, piling in the chocolate and biscuits and all that sort of stuff, what are you doing? But I was exactly like then. And one thing that I would say to your listeners who may be considering carnivore, but they think that it's going to be really tough because they love sugar or carbs so much, I can hold my hand in my heart and say that I was an absolute sugar addict. You know, I never really drank alcohol much. I never really, you know, drugs, I've never gambled. So my vice was indeed sugar. That was how I used to relax. That was what I wanted to do all the time. I was addicted to it, and all my family knew it as well. And if I can do it, then anyone else can. It's easier than you think. The one piece of advice that I'd give is going cold turkey is much easier than actually reducing it over time. And the reason why I say that is I've been carnivore for about a year now. The things that I've had, you know, none of them. So there's certain like Indian food groups that I'm Indian by background, so I have a fair amount of Indian food growing up, things like roti, so a lot of bread. I haven't had one roti since, you know, for over a year now. I don't crave it at all. But I have from time to time had like a little chocolate bar or a little bit of ice cream, something like that. And I find I'm afraid for those things are more because I had them more frequently, so therefore my body craves it a little bit more. But what I would say is that my cravings have reduced to a baseline of maybe 8% less. And every time that I do cheat on carnivore, which is not often, but every time I do, I'm grateful for it because I really pay attention to how I'm feeling. You know, when I feel like the muscle aches, the tiredness, the migraines coming back, the bloatedness, I get really bloated whenever I have any sort of carbs like pasta or something like that. When I go through that again, it just solidifies for me even more that I am on the right path, and I'm human, and I'm going to fail sometimes, I'm going to cheat sometimes, but the real important thing is to pay attention to how you feel when you do, and that's as a solidifier that you are doing.
That's great. I feel like the addiction to sugar, carbs, food in general is such a huge problem that a lot of people, they just don't admit. They're like, I'm just eating, but I know for myself, I yo-yo dieted for years and years and years. And a lot of people that see carnivore, they're like, that's got to be so boring. That's got to be so extreme. But when you get rid of that and you're no longer trying to moderate it, I think that's the big thing. Like all of those other things, even when I was doing keto, I was trying to moderate that addiction. Just have a little bit. It makes it so much harder. So for people out there that are new, that are watching this, I love your message because most people think it's crazy. Most people think it's boring, but it really is the easiest thing in the world. Once you do it, once you get over that addiction, you're in it. Like, I don't think about food anymore. The whole paradigm sort of changes where food was entertainment before. Now it's just fuel. Like, I really appreciate a good ribeye, but I'm not like jonesing for more like I was when I was hooked on sugar and carbs and things like that.
Yeah. A lot of people, like you said, I think food is not entertainment. It's a great way to put it. And not only that, but I also feel like I have way more time on my hands as well.
because I don't need to think about what I'm going to cook for food. I don't need to think about the different meals. I don't need to stand in the kitchen 3 times a day trying to cook for 3 meals a day and plus snacks. Then clean up off myself and stew vegetables for like 2 hours or an hour and a half. Once a day, maybe twice a day, I'm in the kitchen and I fry bacon and eggs, which takes me 5 minutes, or I might cook a steak or 2 or 3, which might take me 5 or 10 minutes. And the thing is like that, it's rapid. Like you said, I don't need to think about food, but I also have so much more time to spend with my family and, you know, learn more about carnivore and actually just enjoy myself with my hobbies.
You mentioned your mom and autoimmune disorders and her healing. Can you touch on that a little bit more? Like, what sort of things did she notice?
Yeah, absolutely. So each one of them had diseases presented in a different way. So rheumatoid arthritis is probably the one that most of your listeners will be familiar with. That's just debilitating joint pain. And my syndrome is relatively inactive. She had a period when she had diplopia, which is not working, but that's resolved since many years ago. And the Wegener's granulomatosis is basically damage of the cartilage of her nose. So she'd have a very saddled nose where all the cartilage broken down. But then one of the biggest things was just this horrible fatigue where she couldn't get out of bed for days on end. So for her, it was a longer journey because, like I said, her body was used to all of the, I'm going to say, rubbish that she was putting in. But she thought she was eating healthy, you know, all the greens and grains and all kinds of what she would eat. But she just felt tired all the time. When she turned carnivore, one of the benefits that she found were, as I said, no reflux. She had more energy and she wasn't being tired all the time. She found it really difficult to wrap around her mind this whole idea of constipation. I feel bad about my mom's constipation on your channel, but it's important to talk about these things. And actually, one thing that I really want to tell all of your listeners is that there is a big difference between constipation and just not producing anywhere near as much stool as you used to. And I think that's a real common misconception where people think, oh, I'm constipated. You're not constipated. By definition, constipated is a really hard stool that you just can't get out. And that's actually not the case when you can't forward. It's, you know, it's absolutely fine. Like, I'm more regular and better balanced than ever before because I'm not pushing really hard amounts of fiber, you know, down the line. So once she understood that it's normal to absorb all of the nutrition that she's eating, rather than just passing it out of the other back end because it's just all fiber and it's all rubbish that you're not actually getting any nutrition from, then you understand that you're not actually constipated. You just, again, have more time.
I love that point. I learned that as well. And it really makes you think back to, like, all of the money I spent on all of that food that turned into waste in so many ways. Yes. Like going to the bathroom over and over again. You go less frequently on carnivore because your body's absorbing all of that. It's like, it's really another testament to carnivore. I've interviewed my friend from the UK, Kent Carnivore, Lee Copas, who has an ileostomy bag. And his story was incredible. Just real quick for the listeners that haven't heard it. He has an ileostomy bag, so he can see what goes into the bag. And when he was eating plants and fruits and vegetables, it would just fill up with gas and green sludge and liquid. And then he noticed when he ate meat, he's like, there's almost nothing in there, just a little bit of liquid, no gas, no inflammation. And it really was eye-opening for him. He'd go back to the doctor and say, eat more vegetables. He's like, I feel horrible. I eat these vegetables and it fills the bag up. So there's another bit of anecdotal evidence. But man, when you can see it right there in the bag, that is some powerful stuff. It's really cool.
He would have a pineapple. And sort of triangle the shape, and he would actually see that in his ileostomy bag. It just shows that your body's not digesting. You can't break it down. The definition of fiber is indigestible. You can't digest it, so you're not going to be getting any nutrition from it.
Yeah, even the little bits of broccoli and tomatoes, he's like, I would chew them so thoroughly, and they'd still be there right in the bag. It's like, what a waste in, waste out sort of thing. But it's really incredible that your mom is doing this as well. I love that. My mom, she was just here the other day. We did a lot together. She's almost 70, and she's been doing carnivore for 2 years now, too. And in her 70s, absolutely thriving. Like, it's incredible. So I want to talk a little bit about longevity and aging with you as well. I know that's one of the specialties that you work on. One of the things I guess I wanted to say was, I feel like a lot of people do carnivore for one reason, like in the immediate now. That's what I did it for. And then they reach the goal. A lot of people reach their goal. They reverse their type 2 diabetes, or they lose 50 pounds. And then they have the tendency to go back. But I've switched my goals to the long term. I have seen so many long-term carnivores. And like you said, like the Inuit and the Maasai and these groups of people have been doing it forever that are just thriving. Do you think about like longevity and carnivore? I mean, I think you were talking about longevity before you started carnivore, but has your perspective on it changed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, longevity is it's a lot of different things. Like I like to think of it as a bit of a pyramid. And at the bottom of the pyramid, it's going to be lifestyle and nutrition. If you don't get your lifestyle and your nutrition right, then all of the other things that we can do on top of that, so hormone balancing or weight loss therapeutics like Ozempic and Mounjaro, biohacking with evidence-based molecules such as NAD+, they're not going to do anything unless you get your lifestyle and nutrition right. And the problem is, so I ask all of my patients, what's your nutrition like? And a lot of them say, oh, I have great nutrition. You know, I have porridge every single morning and I have, my greens. And I'm just thinking in my head that people think they have the idea that the right nutrition that's actually appropriate for longevity, but they're completely wrong. And when I tell them that, as you know, it's so against the dogma. It's so against everything that we've been taught at medical school. And I say that we've been taught at medical school. I only had 1 hour of nutrition in med school. And it was just saying, have the one balanced diet and that's it. And you can ask any doctor, at least in the UK, we don't get any teaching on nutrition in terms of going into med school. But from what I was taught, a well-balanced diet would really help with longevity. But actually what we're seeing is the long-term carnivores, they're better than ever. They're more healthy than ever. They don't have any incidence of any of the diseases that plague us now. And you would think, with better medical technology, with antibiotics, it would be living longer and better than ever. But actually our rate of degenerative diseases is shooting up. So, with like autism's going up and mental health conditions like depression, anxiety is going up, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and all of these neuro diseases are getting worse as well. So it very much shows that you can't just rely on a magical medication that's going to take away all of these diseases when you're older. You need to take control of your diet today in order to have a better tomorrow. And I think it's great that people are starting to see carnivore and longevity sort of hand in hand, that longevity is just being carnivore and having and eating the right thing every single day. Imagine if it's not going to stay with you in 20, 30 years. It doesn't matter if you're 70 or if you're 30 or if you're 5 years old. I myself, my daughter is essentially a carnivore. She's only 1 year old, 15 months, and she has steak almost every day and she absolutely loves it. And she's phenomenal. She's the picture of health. People think I'm doing the wrong thing, that I'm only feeding my daughter and what that's. And, and dairy and meat, obviously. But actually, all I'm doing is feeding her what she would have been eating for the last millions of years, what we're supposed to eat, evolutionarily speaking. So I'm leading in the last few hundred years or so that we've now started to prioritize sugar and carbs and vegetables. Not so much vegetables, but definitely the processed food. So in short, my entire outlook on longevity has changed because it used to be drugs that I could give my patients, like Ulmer and resveratrol, all of these sort of things that are meant to help with longevity. But now I'm just starting to believe that's just a money-making scheme. And actually the patients at home can save that money, change the way they eat, and they'll be able to live very healthy lives.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what you said earlier, which I love, by the way, is actually treating the root cause of things instead of just trying to use medication to treat the side effects or symptoms of them. On the aging front, I don't know if you've seen her. I want to just share this real quick. This is my friend, Rancher Maggie. She has been eating. She's 83 years old. She's been eating carnivore for 65 years. And
incredible.
She's got the triple biceps going there. We filmed her for about a week for our documentary. And that was another reason that really shifted my perspective, like looking at doing this long term. I know she's just one anecdote, but there's many other examples in the world like we were talking about earlier. But she is incredible. And Dr. Rosh, she has never been sick, like nothing. Like everyone you talk to has had one thing or another. She's like nothing. She's never been sick. And at 83 years old, we watched her pick up 100 pounds worth of feed in 4 buckets. She works on a farm. We watched her jump over fences. She works like 16, 18. She said they had a thing on the farm once where she went for 36 hours and she's like, whatever, you got to do it. You got to do it. But just at 83 years old, full of energy, jumping over fences, and just one of the healthiest people I've ever seen. But beyond all of that, she was just so sharp, her energy of like a teenager. And I've interviewed several carnivores. She's the longest at 65 years eating carnivore, but like Dr. Kiltz, I think, is at 16 years. Dr. Wiedemann, maybe 16, 17 years. Every person I interview that's been doing carnivore long-term, they seem like they're 20, 30 years younger, and they're just full of energy. It's incredible.
And I ask why that lady, the 83-year-old lady, decided to become carnivore 65 years ago. What was her reasoning? Why did she decide to do it?
Yeah, so she lived in Canada, and she was living very poorly out in the middle of nowhere. She didn't even have access to grocery stores. And so they'd hunt, and they'd eat meat, and she loved it. And for a while, they had like a garden. They'd grow vegetables, but long winter and whatnot. And she's just like, I never liked vegetables. And at one point, she's like, I'm just going to eat meat. I feel better doing this. And she actually despises vegetables. Talk to her now.
People eat intuitively, right? You give any kid broccoli, they're going to spit it out. Right? Broccoli is intuitively. Our bodies are designed to throw out the chemicals. They'll throw out the toxins. Whereas when I gave my meat for the first time, when she was maybe 6 months, 5, 6 months, I've never seen her happier. They're chewing on a little bit of steak. And I felt very proud of the carnival father time as well. But it shows that, you know, intuitively we do know these things, but actually it's through things like sugar and carbs that and processed food, which has been, you know, altered to try and trigger one of our sugar receptors to make us think that we really want it. But that's tricking our brain into what's actually good for us and what's not. Whereas, you know, steak is natural. So this is what's been around for millions of years, and we are designed to crave it and to want it. It's only through people telling you that you're going to get colon cancer from having meat that you're like, okay, do I have it? But most people, they're really eating on it.
Yeah. With the babies too, I've seen that. And when you really think about it, instincts, right? What instincts does a baby have that's wrong? You give a baby some broccoli, they spit it out. You give them meat and they're absolutely loving it. I think they're really.
And about butter as well. They love fats. They need the fats in order for their brains to develop. It's what we all need for our brains to develop.
It's hard doing carnivore because sometimes we have regrets and you can't go back. But man, if I could go back, I would be feeding my children. My girls are 18 now. I have triplets plus one. The triplets are all eating carnivore. My older daughter is mostly carnivore, a little bit keto. But if I could go back, like your daughter's starting, that is incredible. Could you imagine, Dr. Rosh, going through those formative years as your brain is growing and your body's growing, but actually feeding it proper human diet? It's going to be incredible. It's like, I interviewed Dr. Barry too. His children are eating proper human diet. And he's like, I know I'm biased because they're my kids, but they're going to need a separate division for them. They're outperforming their peers in athletics and just in school and everything. They're great. Just when you don't have that brain fog and you have the proper energy, it's so much better. That's one thing. I don't know if you guys have this a lot in the UK, but here in the US, there's always the, that kid's got the terrible twos. And in retrospect, I'm like, no, that kid's hopped up on sugar, didn't get any sleep last night, and they're bouncing off the wall with what you're feeding them. It's almost like victim blaming. You're blaming the child, but you're just giving the child the wrong fuel.
Yeah, no, I agree. You see it when you give a child sugar. They aren't, like you say, bouncing off the walls. And I'm really excited to see how Aya develops as well. That's the name of my daughter. Because I have no doubt, based on everything that I've learned, that she's going to be, she won't have any incidents of, and I say this knocking on wood, of course, but she won't have any incidents of any diseases. She'll be tall. She'll have, you know, as Western prices, but, you know, she'll have perfect facial symmetry. She'll have perfect teeth. She won't have any cavities. And she's going to be my truth to all the non-believers out there, to all my friends and doctor colleagues, who, by the way, they disagree with me because they believe the conventional medical wisdom. I said wisdom, I say rubbish, really. And they see the difference. They'll see the difference in my daughter, but they've also actually seen the difference in me. And they can't deny that. You know, I've lost weight in my face. I'm lifting heavier weights than ever before. And through seeing me, I hope that they What I want everyone to do is just plant a seed of doubt into my patients, right, or whoever's listening on this call. I like placing a seed of doubt, and then that seed will grow into a tree where they can actually realize what is the proper human diet. So if I can get a vegetarian to have a little bit of meat, or a vegan to become vegetarian, or an omnivore to go cheetah, then I've done a good job. Like, if doing this call with you, one of our listeners decides to do a little bit more meat, a little bit wine with that, and get rid of the rubbish, then we've done a terrific job.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's one of the advice I have too, because a lot of people watching this, Dr. Rosh, are going to say, I'm carnivore, I want to get my kids to do it, but it's so hard, especially if they're a little bit older. I always tell people, like, just take baby steps at the very least. Get rid of the sugary cereal. Give them bacon and eggs for breakfast. That's a good start. Do you have any other advice? I know your daughter's a little bit younger, but that's a big question I get all the time is, how can I get my kids who are, say, 10 years old or teenagers to start eating better? It's really hard because they've been eating this way their entire lives.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I won't ever have an issue because I will be doing that for a very young age. I think if they're a young adult, explain it to them. You know, explain it to them in terms of ways that they'll understand. So tell them, tell your son and daughter, they'll run faster than anyone else in their class if they want to be really good athletic. Tell them that they want to become a doctor, a dentist, or a lawyer, or whatever. They will run better fuel, they'll be smarter, and they will have less brain fog. They study hard and they become successful. Everyone has a goal in life, even, you know, 10-year-olds or 15-year-olds. And if you tell them that Connor will inevitably help them better achieve that goal, they're young adults. They have goals. They want to do something. Give them something to strive for and give them the way to do it. And also the proof is, you know, lead by example. If they're watching you, not following your own diet and you're eating chocolates in the corner without anyone seeing, then they're not going to see it's rubbish. But when they see that you've turned carnivore, you're eating best than ever, you're healthier than ever, and they get to see that there's actually a real truth behind this. But other than that, I am young help kids. Although it does feel like when I'm telling my friends, it feels like I'm having to explain everything all over to them. But the challenge there is most people already have full cups and they're convinced that they know the truth. It was really difficult for me actually to admit that I didn't know what was going on in nutrition because I was like everyone else. When I first heard about carnivore, I thought it was rubbish. But I think you have to have the humility to understand that if you don't have all the answers, that it may be a reason why there's more degenerative disease than before. And there's a obesity epidemic. Maybe we don't know what we're talking about. At one point, we thought smoking was healthy for us. And I can absolutely see in the future that we'll look back and just be like, why the hell were we eating so processed food? How do we not see all of this disease prevalence not correlate that to what we were eating?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And how the hell did we do this to our kids too? Like getting them hooked early from a young age. I think history's going to not look back on us kindly for that one either. Just every celebration, every birthday party, everything in the grocery store, it's like cartoon characters on cereal boxes, get them hooked early from a young age and it's all money. And it's one thing for us as adults to find healing, but then to see this next generation getting sicker and getting started at a younger age. I was really sick and I didn't even eat that bad when I was little, but this next generation, it's way worse than what I had access to back then with all the seed oils and chemicals and food dyes and all of that. So one of the questions I want to ask you back on the longevity and aging thing is a lot of carnivores, myself included, notice that after doing carnivore for a while, their skin improves and some of them have problems with hair initially, but I think that's any major diet you do. You may lose a little bit of hair temporarily. My hair is like darker than it's ever been. My skin has changed. Have you noticed anything like that for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I forgot to mention is that my primary focus at the last 7 years has actually been aesthetics. So I'm an aesthetics doctor. So I've lost 5-7 years. I focus mostly on giving aesthetic treatment. So is that Botox, skin boosters, you know, dermal filler, all of that sort of stuff. My skin's looking particularly good right now. I'm a little bit redder than the hands. But I have to say that my skin has vastly improved since I've played carnivore. Even though I tried, you know, as an aesthetics doctor, I get access to a lot of different skincare products. You know, very expensive stuff. Things that you think, okay, if I'm spending this much on it, I should be seeing a massive difference. And it would actually just cause my skin to break out. Because if you're constantly putting lots of different things on your skin, you know, cleanser, toner, vitamin C, vitamin A, you know, SPF with loads of seed oils in it, you're actually just damaging the skin barrier and that's going to make things worse. Now, I only use one product, which is something called testosterone propionate, something I give all my patients. I won't get into it that much, but a little bit of science behind it. And that's it. I don't use anything else. And I will be releasing a video on my YouTube relatively soon where I'll be talking about the dangers of SPF, or rather the SPFs that have a lot of seed oils and the other rubbish in it, like benzene and all sorts of things that have actually been linked to causing skin cancer. So we think that SPF is going to protect us, but what we're finding now is that's actually cause of skin cancer. And I'm sure you know, you've probably heard the stories of many carnivores not getting sunburned anymore because they turn carnivore. It's all about giving your skin the nutrition it needs to absorb all the nutrition and the benefits of the sun, but, you know, repel the UV damaging rays as well. So yes, I think I've kind of lost track of what we were talking about now. But a second there.
Yeah, no, you were covering well. The skincare changes on carnivore. A lot of people.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, so my skin, I think about this, I've been. My hair is also thicker. I never really tried anything for my hair. And I've always had a reasonably good, but I've definitely seen a difference there as well. But my overall point was, I'd given up all of my skincare routine, which was 8-9 different products at the time. And just being carnivore and with one product has allowed me to have the best skin of my life. And actually, thicker beard, thicker hair as well.
As a longevity expert or doctor, do you feel like diet nutrition is, well, how do I phrase this right? What's the best thing someone can do to live a long, happy life?
I think we all know what my answer is going to be here. If it's going to be eating, just eat wheat. It's all I'd really say. It doesn't need to be complicated. You don't need a magic drug. You don't need, you know, lots of different, you see all these people like they're exercising, you know, 5-6 times a week because they think that's going to make them live longer. Actually, you're just damaging your body because you need time to recover. If you just eat the way we've been eating for the last millions of years, then you'll be absolutely great. And if you are turning on water and you are getting symptoms from it, there are going to be symptoms when you transition, but you may not be doing it right. Speak to someone, speak to an expert in the industry. You know, you're welcome to contact me, contact Dr. Anthony Jaffe or Ken Berry. Hey, these people can help you along, but there are caveats you need to know. You may never have thought of. One thing that I think I struggled with a little bit, or less so being more my mother, was the fact that she was feeling a little bit tired at the start of her carnivore, but then we established this simply because she wasn't living enough fun. Actually, trying to get your patients to understand that they need as much fat as they can get is very counterintuitive because, you know, what about all of the low fats and the zero fats that we have in the supermarket? Every time I see that, I just get super angry because I'm like, we're taking out all of the nutrition. So, yeah, in summary, I think the most important thing that they can do is eat animal products as much as they can and get rid of things like seed oils and grains, bread, pizzas, all of that sort of stuff. Get rid of them. And you'll see the difference. The other thing I say for the people who quite do this about carnivore is if they are already eating meat, I don't really just say, just have a steak, you know, have one or two, whatever it is that fills you up on your plate, but have nothing else on the plate because I'm not sure about you, but when I was omnivore, I'd always have steak with vegetables, steak with carbs and with chips and everything. So I often just say to my patients, just try it. Try one meal, have the steak with nothing else, cooked in as much butter and salt as you want, and you'll find that you won't be lethargic afterwards, you won't be bloated, you'll feel fuller for longer. And that's just one tiny little, very quick experiment that someone could do to see that there's actually some real evidence behind this as well, because they see the difference that they feel even after just one meal.
I love it. The other question I have for you is, the name of our documentary is Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Do you feel like humanity needs healing?
Yeah, you see it everywhere. And, you know, you see it walking down the street, you know, people who are extremely overweight, you know, the hospitals are overrun with disease. Humanity absolutely needs healing.
Love it. And I have a lot of new carnivores that come to my channel and they're sick and they're curious, but they can't quite wrap their brain around carnivore. Do you have any advice or an approach if someone seems a little bit curious? Like, how do you approach them and talk to them so that they're not just like, this is crazy, and you scare them off kind of thing?
So, as I said before, I run an intensive clinic. So I have a lot of patients coming in, and they're usually people who obviously want to make themselves look better. And most people who want to look better also want to feel better as well. So there's always a line of communication there. I try to give them as much information as I can, but you have to remember when you're learning about this for the very first time, it is a huge amount of overwhelming information. So if you're very forward and you say all of these bold things like vegetables and spinach can kill you and eating red meat forever for the rest of your life is going to mean that you live healthy, that can be a bit too much. So I like to start off relatively slowly and tell them the facts and give them the evidence. But I also like to only have the discussion for about 20 to 30 minutes, no more than that, because the research shows that we can't enter into anything longer than actually 18, 19 minutes. That's why TED Talks are already 18 minutes, because the human brain's not capable of taking in a huge amount of information for longer than that. So I give them the basics, and then I send them to my YouTube, or I send them to Anthony Chafee. Dr. Anthony has a fantastic YouTube channel, and you know, people like Dr. Ken Berry, because that allows them to do their research in the comfort of their own home without having someone who's just viewing facts and figures at you, where it can be a little bit too overwhelming. So I advise them to learn about it little and often, and really try and absorb what they're listening to. Also, fact check as well. You can't just listen to everyone on YouTube. Not everyone is an expert. Even though I listened to Dr. Anthony Chafee and Dr. Abs and all these sort of people, I didn't just take their word and scoff. I did my own research in it as well. So I looked at many papers and I read the books, and it supported what they were saying. So I knew they weren't charlatans. And the other thing is that they weren't selling anything. You know, I'm not selling anything. I don't think you are, and the other doctors aren't either. What we're trying to do is just, as you say, heal humanity.
The next question I have is, a mainstream doctors, I've been to several doctor's appointments, they think carnivore's crazy because of all of these studies. And a lot of individuals are hesitant to start carnivore because they've heard a study that meat's going to clog your arteries or you're going to get cancer. Do you have any thoughts as a doctor on these studies, nutritional studies?
I understand why so many doctors think that way, because it is what we're taught. And everything we're taught at med school, when you're just a 23-year-old kid and you listen to a university professor, you take everything they say as gospel. But it's when you actually see, when you combine all of the research that, you know, I've personally done on it, you see it carnivore with the anecdotal evidence, the population studies, the biochemistry, you see that it's completely wrong what we've been taught. And then when you go even further into research, the one book that I'm reading currently that I think is absolutely fantastic is called The Big Fat Surprise. Her name is Nina Schultz, something like that. Have you ever heard of this book?
Yeah, Nina Teichold.
Thank you for correcting me. But the book was actually amazing, because that just shows a step-by-step pathway as to why we think that your cholesterol is bad, why saturated fats are bad as well. And it shows, you know, how people like Ansel Keys were essentially the reason why we now think all of those things. And it shows how all of his studies were completely, you would only take a study that supported his conclusion, but not include any of the ones that didn't. And you'll see a story about how he became friends with the individual who was held for the US. I can't remember his name. And he, in turn, then spoke to the president, and the president then, you know, they all of the American Heart Association and all of these bodies, which would give this official information that, you know, cholesterol and fat is bad for you, but it's all based on absolutely rubbish research. When anyone would put forward research and contradict it, they would just stamp it down. They didn't want anyone to know, because they wanted to be come across as they were correct. Now we've come so far down that line, if they were to be proven to be wrong, it would lose all credibility. So there's a whole story behind it as to why we all now believe that, you know, cholesterol is bad and saturated fat is bad. It's only when you step out of that and you actually look at the real research, where it's not biased, that no one has the money to make, and you start to see that it's the wool has been pulled over our eyes, and we really need to think for ourselves as individuals. If you're eating, you know, vegetables and processed food and carbs and sugar, and you're feeling rubbish, there must be a reason behind it. If you're eating only meat, saturated fats, or your colleagues or your friends are, and they're feeling the best that they ever have in their entire lives, there must be a reason for that as well.
Yeah, the studies really started to get me. I used to see those on the news or on TV and be like, that's science. That's there for my benefit. Until I realized, like you said, a lot of those are biased because of incentives. It costs a lot of money to do a study. People aren't just doing studies out of the kindness of their heart. They're usually trying to sell you a pharmaceutical or point you in some direction. The thing that got me on the studies near the end, and when I started thinking about it after becoming carnivore, was just how many were contradicting each other. You'd hear a study here like, eggs are great for you. And then the next day you hear, eggs are going to give you a heart attack. And then the next day, eggs are great for you again. It's like, you could just skew this data any way you want, but it's all about the money. It's all about driving more money, and the incentives, unfortunately, are lined up wrong.
It came out that there was some Harvard professors which were paid, I believe, something that could be $50,000 to make people think in I forget the name of the study. I don't think it was the Framingham study. And to tell people that the cause of the heart disease epidemic was actually it was saturated fats and cholesterol rather than sugar. They were known to be paid by these sugar companies. And then you just think, well, if people can just be paid for saying whatever, then who do you believe? And because you can believe is yourself, where you done all the diets. And that's one thing I think I kind of neglected to mention in detail, that I have tried all the diets. I've been vegan. I've been vegetarian. I've tried the Mediterranean diet. I've tried keto. I've tried paleo. I've tried all of them. And without a doubt, I feel the best in carnivore. And yeah, sure, that's anecdotal evidence. But, you know, make it your own anecdote. Try it yourself. You know, try carnivore and then try vegan. I mean, like I always say, you'll always meet vegans going carnivore. I've one of them. But you never be a carnivore who goes vegan. Because once you feel the way you do, and it's
Yes, 100%. Dr. Rush, what do you say? One of the big things that has driven me a little crazy when I first started carnivore, and a lot of people, friends and family mean well, but they'll often say, can't you just eat a balanced diet?
Yes. So that question was most positive to me as well. And the answer I had to that individual person was, can you think of a single species existing now or has existed in the past which had a balanced diet? Every single species eats what they are designed to do. You don't see a lion say, I think I'll have a salad today. A lion is designed to eat meat. And yeah, and then like the next question I normally get, well, how do runners so big? And the reason is that they have biology. Like I believe a gorilla has a cecum rather than the appendix, which allows them to ferment vegetables, which then allows them to extract protein from that. We used to have that when we were primates, but now that we're humans, our cecum has now become our appendix, and it's common knowledge that our appendix doesn't do anything. It doesn't have that same function. So our biology is very different. So yes, it's very much about understanding that we are supposed to eat meat. And then you have all this argument about teeth and all of this rubbish stuff that why we don't have canines. We don't have large canines like tigers do, so we're not designed to eat meat. Well, yeah, because we had developed brains, we can make tools. So that's not a valid argument either. So you're always going to get people, especially family and friends, who think that they care about you, and they think that you're going to get a heart attack, or they think you're going to get pulmonary cancer because of med kind of use. And once you ask them that question, they have to question actually maybe there is some truth behind it, because not a single species has ever become a diet that's outside of what they're supposed to eat.
That's one of my favorite arguments, the species one too. And also turning around saying, look, millions of species on this planet, and there's only like maybe two or three that you're eating outside of it, humans and the pets we feed. And those are the only species of millions of species on this planet that are sick, like cancer, diabetes, and obesity, and all these autoimmune disorders. Every other species that's eating what it's intended to is just fine. It's just thriving, like a cow in the field eating grass is doing just fine without balancing some other things in just for the sake of it.
That's the common sense answer, right? That's the stuff that the layperson can understand. But when you go into the biochemistry of it all, which is very complicated and many diagrams and such to really go through it. But then actually Dr. Adams has done a fantastic video which really goes through that all. But you essentially have two different pathways in your metabolism. You can either break down fats through fat oxidization, you produce ketones, and we all know how valuable and how good ketones are in terms of, you know, making you feel sharp. And then another thing is you increase brain primary neurotrophic factor in terms of fueling your muscles so you're more efficient and you can work harder. Or you have sugar metabolism where you, through glycolysis, you break down sugar and you produce, you know, monoamine disaccharides. And the end product on both pathways is ATP, which is the universal currency for energy, right? What we know is through fat oxidization, we produce more ATP per molecule of fat than we do per sugar. So it's a more efficient system. But what we now know is that each pathway inhibits the other, which effectively means that if you're having a mixed diet, if you're having animal fats and carbs or animal fats and sugar, they're inhibiting each other's pathways. And therefore, you are almost grinding your gears and it's actually becoming more difficult for you to digest the food and you're not extracting the nutrition you actually need. So it's far better to only stick with one option. So I only put fats and animal fats and dairy in my body, but I'm constantly in this state of ketosis and I'm only creating energy through my fat oxidization. I'm not using my glycolysis pathway and therefore my gears aren't kind of grinding. And it's why, because my body's not at war with itself. That's probably a relatively very short, very simplistic way of trying to explain it. But my point is that biochemistry supports the fact that we are meant to be carnivores, as well as simple, common knowledge facts like the species of it.
Dr. Rush, you found healing for yourself and your mom and your daughter's eating this way now. Why are you so passionate about this that you decided to share this on YouTube and social media? Like, you're pretty busy as a doctor. That's a lot of extra work. Where's your passion for this coming from?
It's very cheesy, but I always wanted to help people, right? And that's the reason why I got into medicine. You know, when I actually got into medicine, I found that I was just giving a bunch of drugs to people and that was causing more side effects. I sort of lost my love for medicine and I went into something where I can at least enjoy my life. Aesthetics in the UK allows me to have flexibility, allows me to be my own boss, and it allows me to give pretty lovely results to my patients, and they're very happy. So that was rewarding. But, you know, reversing, my mom was pre-diabetic, and reversing her diabetes and reversing her autoimmune condition was so rewarding that I knew that I just had to do this for as many people as I can. And I have had many patients come to me via aesthetics, via YouTube, via many different pathways, where I've, for instance, at least try carnivore, and I see their stories. And I've seen patients lose, you know, multiple stones of weight, seen reversible autoimmune disease and diabetes. I've seen, you know, a big one is mental health. You know, people have really been struggling with their mental health problems, with like anxiety and depression for many, many years, trying loads of different antidepressants, which, you know, doctors just chuck at them. I mean, when they go carnivore, they feel better than ever. And I have to say, when I get a patient who gives me a text saying, I've lost this weight or I feel this much better, and that's more rewarding than any drug that I've given a patient or any amounts of money that I've made or doing a full facial transformation with them. But there's nothing more rewarding than knowing that if I get one patient through this video, one of the videos that I've created, to go carnivore, that person will never get cancer. They will never get diabetes, or they will get these horrible health conditions because of the way they eat. And like, who wouldn't find that happen, right? And I feel like because of the fact that I have the medical degree, it gives me a little bit more knowledge on this subject matter. And I feel like it puts me in a good position to spread the word as much as I can. Yes, there is a worry that, you know, conventional medicine will come after me. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I keep my degree or not. I just want to help people. That's all it is. And if I can do it through this way and if I can reach more people through a system like YouTube, then actually that's what I'm going to use to try and get the word out there.
I love it. That's awesome. It's amazing too, because like you help someone immediately. That's like invaluable. Like you help someone reverse their type 2 diabetes or overcome their depression. That was my big thing. I was on all sorts of antidepressants and nothing touched it, completely off all my medication on carnivore, and feel a million times better. That would have been worth every penny in the world, like everything for me. But then you kind of alluded to this. It's also the long term that I think a lot of people underestimate. You fix the here and the now and they're excited, but they don't think like these people may live 20, 30 years longer, or they're going to live without mobility issues and arthritis and dementia, Alzheimer's, cancer, avoiding all those things. Those things are so hard to measure, but I think it's important to consider those as well, because I think a lot of people don't. I really believe that it's so powerful for the long term. That's my long term why, like I said earlier, that I switched from. I'm all healed now. Like, I could go back to doing whatever I was doing before. I'm never going to, but I'm more excited for the future and living longer and growing old with my wife and being there for my kids and actually thriving. You look at the stats now, I think in the US, they just said the average lifespan is going in the wrong direction for the first time. Some people are living longer because we have these interventions like stents and surgeries and things like that. But overall, you look at people and they're miserable. They're like, they're arthritic and they're suffering and they're in old folks' care homes and they're just barely getting by where they could be living those final years in retirement, just thriving. And that's what I'm hopeful for.
Look at that 86-year-old lady that you showed up to, who's got more muscle than me, and she's, you know, lifting pounds. It's incredible. And if we can get more people living like that, I think we'll be better off.
Absolutely. Dr. Rush, where can people find you and follow you and learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, of course. So I'm speaking about, you know, longevity and carnivore on my YouTube. So if you just type in Dr. Rosh Rehla, so that's Dr. Rosh Rehla, that's my full name. And I'm hoping to post videos on carnivore as well as other things like skin care, longevity, all of this sort of stuff. Hopefully next week I'll be releasing a video on the big fat surprise. I'm going to do a video on that where I basically explain it all. That's why YouTube's such a great channel, because it allows you to condense, you know, huge ideas into these tiny little videos. And I really enjoy doing that in a relatively simplistic way when the lay person can understand it. And so, yeah, I'm going to be doing lots of more videos of that, so people can reach out to me through my YouTube. I also have a website for consultations with me if they want to. And I'm always there.
I will have links in the description below, and I highly recommend check out Dr. Rosh on YouTube. I've really enjoyed your videos. I've been doing YouTube for a long time, and your videos are amazing. They're educational, they're entertaining, like you don't lose interest at all. So you've really got a great YouTube channel. So I highly recommend everyone go check out Dr. Rosh on YouTube. And thank you so much, Dr. Rosh. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, Kerry. And I must say, you're doing a fantastic job spreading the word. So well done to you, Dave.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. We'll speak soon.